Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Disruptive Business, celebrating those who change the game.
All right, Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Disruptive Business. And you know, Stone, Disruptive Business features cutting-edge organizations and the innovative leaders who guide them.
I do know that. Yes, I do know that. I missed being here last week.
Yes, you did.
I did some field scouting at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta with my gymnast daughter and a broken leg. I got to give a shout out to those folks. If you have to be at a hospital, if you have to be in that environment, those folks, they're so kid-friendly, they're parent-friendly, they do a fantastic job, and our guest today probably is well aware of them and their reputation.
That's
I'm aware of their reputation, and I had a child that had to go there one time,
Don't they do a fantastic job,
though? They are awesome. And I will tell you, Donna Hyland, who's their present CEO, tremendous woman, big contributor to Atlanta and the health scene here.
That was Lynn Hood, and she's with Cracker Jack Marketing. Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you.
Now, last week I had to work with Micah Porter with Minerva Planning Group.
You had to work
work with him. Me and him had to, because you weren't around.
Right, and you tried to have fun without me, and I bet it wasn't easy.
No, Micah is awesome. He does a great job. And I look forward to seeing him, hopefully, next week.
So, Lynn, what's your deal? What's this all about? What are you out there doing for folks?
What you're really asking me is, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
Well, we saw Lynn at, a week ago or 2 weeks ago?
I know,
ago,
and it was a fantastic interview.
Thank you. Venture Atlanta, and I talked a little bit about what I do for marketing, but today I'm here to talk about the people I do marketing for and the groups that I'm working with. I am very involved with a niche audience of health IT and medical device and life sciences. And it's an area I've been working in for about 10 or 12 years and work with several different organizations. And I wanted to tell you about some of the things that are going on, at least from an outside standpoint.
Yeah, well, I'd like to know about that. But why don't you kind of talk first generally about the health IT kind of world here in Atlanta? Because it's starting to become a special place in the health IT world, isn't that right?
Atlanta, as we have coined, is the nation's capital of health IT. And we didn't just, we did just make that up. But we, the joy of marketing. But there's rationale behind that. We had to have our proof points for it. Atlanta really has become what we would call a super cluster. That means we have so many companies here that it brings in other companies and it's spinning off companies. It's almost if you think back to your astronomy days of a supernova, I think, does something like that, that it's spinning out new solar systems. Well, in this case, when you take a company like McKesson, which is the leader, worldwide leader, biggest company in the world in health IT, and you put their operations here in Atlanta, a lot of other companies are attracted to that.
That's right.
And a lot of other companies come out of that because people sometimes leave the companies they leave for, they work for, and so they'll go start up a new company. And we've seen that happen in Atlanta.
Now, McKesson's part of this cluster. What are the other big players in there?
Actually, one of the reasons that we claim that we're the health IT capital is that we have over 200 companies involved. And it ranges on from everything, the kind of things that McKesson does, which are very high-end health information systems within hospitals, to companies that are doing little bitty apps on for your iPhone. So we have this enormous range within it.
But you need, in order to kind of create the supercluster, don't we need like hospitals? Don't we need universities? There's certain components of this have to be in place in order for this really to flourish.
Exactly. So you have to start with, first of all, you need to have a lot of companies. We have over 200 companies. We have the giant McKesson. There is something called the IHC, HCI, the Health Information 100.
Right,
HCI
the CDC 100. Is here?
CDC is here. So this HCI 100 is a national list that ranks the top 100. Well, we have 6, 7, 8, depending on who's been acquired, who started,
that's
who's
right.
supporting more.
It's very fluid.
It kind of moves around a little bit. So we have several very large companies, but then we have a huge number of smaller companies. And you're right. So you have to have the companies here. You have to have the educational systems. So that ranges from Gwinnett Tech and the other technology,
right.
The other tech universities that have some tremendous programs, up to Georgia Tech and Emory, which have graduate-level programs
right.
in health IT.
And there's a lot of research being done there, as well as just churning out, you know, the workers and the entrepreneurs.
Exactly. Some of the and taking some of this data. And let's come back to that and talk about why we care about health IT.
Uh-huh.
And we'll come back to that one in just a minute.
Why do we care?
We're coming back.
So, and then we have the institutions that you talked about. You mentioned the CDC, which is huge to have here in Atlanta.
Right.
We also have CARE here in Atlanta, which is an international organization.
And the Cancer Society,
American Cancer Society. There's Alzheimer's. We have all sorts.
Arthritis Foundation. I know. There's a lot of big.
How do you know all this stuff?
Someone's got to do some research here. Okay. We're not relying on you for this.
Do you want another copy of the brochure that we put together?
But now these 200, what's fascinating to me is they all kind of play nicely together. It's a much more collaborative crowd than I would have anticipated, because I would have thought it would have been a very dog-eat-dog competitive environment.
Yes. This is a group that plays very nicely
Well, I mean, you guys
together.
Have summits. You get together. You talk. You share ideas.
We do. And you have, I think there's a certain amount of welcoming that there's a competition because they know that it brings in the top people.
Right.
When you have a company like Greenway, which is another major, major player in health IT, and they announce they're adding 400 people, that's jobs for everybody.
People pay attention to that.
Yeah.
And speaking of jobs, the Metro Chamber is very involved in the health IT world, right? They, not only are they just kind of talk about it generally, they create a special group just to kind of attack that.
As a matter of fact, there's a Bioscience Leadership Council that works with medical devices, clinical trials, and health IT are the three focuses this year. And in fact, we have a health IT meeting later this afternoon to talk about how we market Atlanta. But the MAC is very involved. And so you were talking about everybody coming together and playing nicely. So a few years ago, the Metro Atlanta Chamber, Georgia Department of Economic Development, and the Technology Association of Georgia, TAG, got together. And these three separate organizations formed a single body that put together the Health IT Summit. And the first year we did it, I think we had about 500 or so people
attend.
Wow,
not a bad first year, huh?
Not a bad first year. Last year, we sold out at the Fox.
And what is sold out? That's thousands?
Over 600.
600.
Fox only holds so many.
Right.
Now, if we change our seating some this year, then we may be packing more in. That's going to be December 4th. At the Fox Theater, the cost is remarkably cheap. Nobody's trying to make money off of this. This is a chance to bring everybody together, from the hospitals, the job seekers, the educators,
wow.
the legislators, and, of course, the companies, and bring everybody together and talk about what's going on, update them, hear from leaders, and then be able to go back and do things. So our first year, we concentrated on jobs. The second year, we started talking about what other kind of infrastructure things. And this year we're talking about innovation. We'll have the Intel Innovation Award, which was the first year we did that last year. I headed that up and got that started. It's tremendous. Intel's great to support it, and it's a chance to recognize four top companies. I'll tell you a little bit about Solo Health that won it last year. So that's something where you see these groups coming together to really build for Atlanta to do good things.
How did you get in this line of work? Did you have a real job before all this? Or?
I started as a newspaper reporter years ago, but luckily I left that one before it went under too far. I have been doing marketing for 25 or so years.
Started when she was 11.
True. And gave birth to my 20-something-year-old daughter right after. So been doing this for about 25 years, and we started business-to-business marketing. Love business-to-business marketing. It's not just putting up a billboard and saying, buy cornflakes.
Right.
It's talking very directly to people that have specialized interests, and you have to work in very specialized areas, particularly when you get into the medical devices. But when you're but working in that, and so we did the technology, we did telecom, and we consciously decided this was an area that fascinated us and we wanted to get into it. And so we got involved, and this is what people need to do. We went to Georgia Bio, which is a tremendous organization promoting the bioscience and life sciences in Georgia, and started joining groups and contributing and doing things, volunteering. And from there, you just kind of get sucked in. When health IT, it was such a logical connection between the biosciences and the technology areas that we were familiar right. with. So that's how I got sucked
so
in.
So I first met you, and Lee probably too, at Venture Atlanta 2012. What was that experience like for you?
It was fun. I remember one of the first Venture Atlantas several years ago back over at Colony Square. Solo Health was looking for money, and they're a right. huge
why
asset
do you
to
tell
Atlanta.
People what they do?
Solo Health is one of my favorite companies.
I know. I got to interview that guy early on in his
Yeah, so and Bart Foster, who heads that up, is just a tremendous entrepreneur. He started working on it when he was at CIBA Vision, kind of, and he told me at the time he was an intrapreneur. And he was, talked about how he kind of, a little skunk works kind of project going on. And they embraced it at the time, and he spun that off. So Solo Health, the idea was that you could go to a little
kiosk,
like
the blood pressure machine.
Like the blood pressure machine at a mall or someplace, sit down and get your eyes checked.
To get an eye exam, like you would a blood pressure thing at
like the thing they have CVS. At the pharmacy at
right.
CVS.
Exactly.
How cool is that?
It is. And so, because people don't know how bad their eyes are, except
right.
for all of us throwing on our little reading glasses
exactly.
when we hit 40, you know. But this was to help identify this need. And what it would do was give you a list of nearby optometrists.
Right.
That's a business
nice.
Model. It's driven by advertising.
Right, simple. I mean,
very
once
simple.
Once he tells you, you're like, why hadn't – that's like such an easy
that's
thing.
Beautiful.
It's one of those dough movements.
Right.
You know,
why didn't I think of that?
I could have had a VA. Well, so then he went in and he's talking to Walmart a few years ago.
Right. And that's where they tested the first one up 400.
Yeah. So he said, what about putting this in? And Walmart said, you know, we can do that, but we have very limited space.
Right.
If you had that blood pressure machine in there, we could give you more space. We could guarantee you a spot. And he said, great. Do you want to fund that development? And they went, no.
Exactly.
Come back in a couple of years. And so now, a couple of years later, he's announced they have great funding. They have, you know, for a startup company, great funding. They're going into all the Walmarts, and they have a kiosk that will tell you your vitals and can identify overweight, high blood pressure. You better go see the doctor.
Exactly.
So, and think about it. So you sit down, you have high blood pressure. Well, up pops an ad right next to you there for a Lipitor or
right.
some
How
other.
How sweet is that?
Yeah.
No, it's brilliant.
So, and plus you can still get your eyes checked. So it's a brilliant thing. And what this is doing is, it's nice that it's up 400, but you have lots of doctors and hospitals
exactly.
around here, right? What about putting it out into rural areas where they don't have a lot
right.
of doctors and hospitals? Mm-hmm. What about alerting people who don't know they have
right.
high blood pressure?
Well, the whole thing is so small and compact, it could be anywhere.
Exactly. Exactly. And there's other, and talking to Bart, and he says, and there's other things we're looking at.
Of course.
So,
now, once you have that kind of space, now you can start adding other things.
Once you have that footprint, what else do you
exactly.
want to do with it? So it's a way to, you know, one of our big problems, a couple of our big problems that the health IT addresses in this country from a health standpoint, one is the expense of health care, and two is access to quality health care. So when you start looking at ways to diagnose people who don't have good access, that's tremendous. Then you take something like telehealth to take that access out into the neighborhood. So let me tell you about a cool program coming up next Thursday. Tag Health is putting on a program on telehealth. We'll have Richard Otto from Reach Health. Reach was one of the first telehealth, was the first, I think, in Georgia. I think we'll have someone from the Georgia Partnership for telehealth. And we'll have a doctor who actually uses this to see patients. And this is something that's growing nationally. So, for example, if Piedmont or Hospital ABC here in Atlanta has one of the top cardiologists in the country.
Right.
And yet they have a satellite out in Grayson, Georgia, or someplace, you know, they're opening up all these satellite clinics. Well, they're not going to get the top cardio guy to go sit out in Grayson.
Right, exactly.
One afternoon.
That guy's not.
It's just dope. But you could talk to him on via
like,
telehealth. You
like
can look
with
the
video or just
audio? With the video
wow.
and audio and all of your medical records right there.
Right,
so he can look at it at the same time. This came out of Augusta. Dr. Hess in Augusta was one of the people that came up with this, and it was for strokes. If you administer a certain drug within the first 3 hours of a stroke, it saves your brain. It's a tremendous.
Right, it's a life-saving.
It's life-saving. Right. You know, time is brain sure. with a stroke. The problem is, if you're not having the right kind of stroke to take advantage of this, it's not so good for you. Not so much. So doctors were very reluctant, non-trained neurosurgeons right. were very reluctant to administer this. And you take rural hospitals in Georgia, which we have a large area.
Right.
And so they weren't administering it at all.
Oh, so they erred on the side of, we don't want to risk it at all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So they came up with a way, and they kind of cobbled this together. And they took a video camera. They took a receiver. They took some computer things. And he tells a story of being in something like a Burger King one time and getting this call and going to him and says, I have to get on a computer. And they went, it's life and death. I'm a doctor. Right. Okay. So he goes in the back, gets on the
of
internet.
The Burger King?
Yeah.
He's in the back of a Burger King.
Yeah.
Diagnosing. So he's going to some cloud thingy that's right. facilitating all this, right?
Absolutely. Wow. He can sit there and look in real time. He can look at the patient. He can look at the stats. And he can say, yes, you should administer the drug.
Wow. You know why he invented it? It's from Augusta. He's a member of the club, and he did not want to leave the links, right? That's where the motivation came from.
Oh, I lived in Augusta for a year. I'm not sure the doctors are out in the links.
That's
so
amazing.
Yeah, and yeah. it's just tremendous. So over the first year, they administered like 12, 15 times for the drug. Business case. So we all feel good. Our hearts are warm and happy.
It's a great story.
But from a business case, so then they transfer that patient over to Augusta for further treatment to the hospital in Augusta.
Right.
So it's good for the hospital's right. bottom line, which is why we do this stuff, you know, a lot of this stuff. It's good for the patient, and the doctors can do it remotely.
Right. So everybody wins.
Yeah, yeah. So it's tremendous. So that company has evolved and is now Reach Health, and they have installations across the United States. They're doing the Veterans Administration, VA, is doing a lot with telehealth right now. They're giving veterans an iPad so that they can receive remote treatment.
Oh, so they could do that FaceTime where mm-hmm. they can do the video conferencing?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So they can. So the VA is really leading edge with some of the things they're doing with this.
So how's it going with medical records? Because I'll tell you, last week with the Children's Healthcare, it was nice to walk out of the orthopedist office. We had a CD, and mm-hmm. also we were told all your stuff is sitting over there at the blood work person's thing. So it seems like they've made some strides in being able to.
So you didn't have to redo all those applications?
Not fill out the form every freaking time. Are they making some strides?
Yes. They are making.
Yes,
making,
and.
Not enough.
But not enough. So here's the, I mean, it's getting everything integrated together. And then who is the keeper of this?
Right.
Someday we will have our own patient record online that will have all our medical information that we can grant access to doctors. That's the goal.
Right.
I mean, that's the golden goal that everybody wants. Currently, you know, we had a speaker last year. He's top guy at GE. Talked about he's got medical records for his mom and like 17 different doctors.
Right.
So, and if you go from one system to a different system.
Right.
So if you get treated at DeKalb and then go over to Emory.
Guess what?
They don't.
Exactly. They have a different system. So you got to start again from scratch.
Exactly. Yeah. So it makes sense not to have to fill in all that information. But it also makes sense, again, let's talk about, you know, doing the filling out the paperwork
over
and over again.
Right. Oh, man, that's just aggravating. You're already under stress. Your kid's hurting. Your wife's calling in. You know, how'd she break her leg? What was she doing? It's your fault. You know, you got all this stress happening.
But it's a test that you shouldn't have to repeat. So what is let's say your daughter's not going to have to be x-rayed over and over again. But let's say you have a heart problem.
Right.
So you go see your cardiologist, and then you have an emergency, and you have to go to the emergency room. They're going to run all the tests
again. The same test that you just had yesterday done, because these guys don't have that.
Well, and they don't want it.
And they're not sharing. They don't have this. They don't have these shared records. And so unless you're carrying around a little stick drive with all your pictures on it. Yeah.
Right. So every time you're having to redo that.
So there's plenty of room for improvement here. There's going to be more and more entrepreneurs and more systems trying to find the magic.
That's what there's so
and that's
many
where
people
it affects the
that.
Consumer. That's why all these things are kind of coming back around to it's improving the consumer's experience and getting the results in a much more efficient, effective way.
And it's giving the consumer more power over their health care. Right. You know, the internet has opened up health care to people. Think about it. You had Mike Kadger on last week, and
right.
I do some work with Monocle Health. Their goal is to provide transparency into the cost
right.
and quality of health care. Why can you find out more about this coffee cup sitting on the table and whether people like it or not, the
right.
quality of it, cost of it? Why can you do that and not find out about your doctor?
Right. Or a procedure, how much a procedure costs. Like, that's just crazy that we don't know more.
Exactly. Exactly. And so this is, and the problem is if you want to find out about a doctor, you've got to go online, you've got to look them up, you're going to find a lot of opinions, you can go search through a lot of multiple databases to find the quality information, and then you can do it all over again for the next doctor you're
exactly.
considering. And the next doctor.
Right, it's crazy.
It's very difficult to find this information. It's always
been almost like they do that on purpose.
For the bad ones, maybe so, and taking advantage of that. The other exciting thing that's coming out of this, and you talked about the research that's taking place like at Georgia Tech and some of these other places, public health school over at Emory. When you have this data, when everything's not sitting in on a shelf somewhere on a
right.
piece of paper, you can start looking at populations, and you can start looking at how people live and how they die and how they get well and what's affecting them, and you can start seeing patterns.
Right.
And so there's so much, this data is opening up now. There's some fighting I read the other day. There's some fighting going on. They want to get some of the federal records. The problem is everything's linked to Social Security numbers, and so privacy. We'd
right.
rather not have those floating around. But if you can,
it would be good to aggregate just the raw data, not the individual.
Exactly.
Right.
So if you can de-identify
right.
the patient, which is what they do in clinical studies, de-identify the patient, then you can look at this information.
Right.
It's just fascinating to be able to see these things.
Well, we were talking a lot about it at Venture Atlanta, this big data, you know, the whole thing with big data. There is so much information out there that it would be, I mean, it's kind of a crime that we can't aggregate some of that stuff and depersonalize it so that we can learn from it.
Exactly.
Because we have the technology and the computer power now to process it all.
Now we do.
Right. We didn't before, but now we do.
No. Think about it. Do you remember how big your first computer was, what the
right.
memory was?
Well, now your phone can, you know, send someone to the moon. You know, it's bigger computer power than what they use to send people to the moon.
I think one of my big ones, I had 256 megabytes of memory.
Right. You were like, well, I remember 20 megabyte hard drive on my first computer in the 80s. It was like, that's like insane.
It was magical.
Right.
It was just wonderful. And you could type in that black and white
right,
screen.
Exactly.
And
with that little yellow thing.
I always just played that little submarine game where you shot that little dash up at the dash going the other way. Right. So you're a marketing person.
I'm a marketing person.
You're probably not the only one in town, maybe not even the only one in town that tries to specialize in this healthcare IT arena. How do you market your own services? Or it sounds to me like maybe a lot of folks come to you. How do you even get on their radar?
Well, I'll tell you, and this is true for any service provider, not just me, but the way I do it, I participate. And I think that that's a lesson, whatever area you're in. So the fact is that I talked to you about the Tech Health Summit coming up.
Right.
I contribute my time to that and put in a lot of time to get that done. We have a clinical trials conference coming up in another week. Throwing a plug for it. First one, clinical trials in Georgia. If you do clinical trials, you need to be there. It's awesome. GeorgiaClinicalTrials.com, by the way. HealthITLeadership.com, that's a .com too. SEMDA.net, Southeastern Medical Advice. Sorry. But it's getting involved. It's putting the time in. It's getting to know the people. And by doing the work, by showing them that you're either well-organized or you're smart or you understand IP law, whatever your specialty, in my case, marketing, and you get business out of that. So
right.
I do have people call me up.
So you see a direct correlation between that?
Yeah.
The more you're giving back to the community, the more that the community is giving back to you.
Yeah, not all of it pays off.
Right. I mean, it may not be today that I do the work today and then tomorrow I get the account, but the more you're involved, the more you're meeting all the players in there, eventually it comes back to you.
Exactly. And I think there's also, for me at least, there's some things that I do just out of the heart.
Right.
And we had our first women in bio meeting.
Right. Talk about that, because that's, I mean, that's a niche within a niche.
Oh, that's a little niche group. This is actually a national or international organization, because they have a chapter in Canada and one in India that was formed a few years ago. When you go to these conferences, maybe you guys didn't notice, but when you go to these kind of conferences of technology, there's not a line for the women's bathroom. That's how you can tell.
Right. Well, I know. We did the women in technology event at the aquarium earlier. And, I mean, they have to have special groups just for that, because there's not that many of them.
Exactly. Exactly. And in fact, Jamie Graham, who's an attorney at do I get to say that?
Absolutely. I mean, we have to send him a bill, but go ahead.
Okay. Wait a minute. You're sending attorneys a bill? That seems odd. She's an attorney over at Sutherland. Tremendous woman. Met her through Women in Technology. And so when she started getting involved with Women in Bio, she called me up. She said, you have to be involved with this because it is a great group. So they are doing two things. One, they're trying to help women advance their careers within the bioscience industry. And the second thing is they're trying to get younger women interested in this as a potential career. So we had Tanya Popovic, who's, I think, number three at CDC, came in and talked about her career and what she's done. And she gave – we had a lot of young women there from the CDC, from Emory, from Georgia Tech. And then we had some more mature ones. It was a tremendous presentation. I enjoyed it. But she talked about the things you need to do to advance your career. And it was dynamic and tremendous. And we've gotten great response to this. And you see this because trying to bring these women together so they can talk about common problems.
Right.
And network in a very supportive environment is just a great thing to do.
And she's singing your song. What is it you say? Niches bring riches. That's your
right.
philosophy,
niches
right?
Niches bring you riches.
Oh,
you
I
can
didn't
use
that.
Steal that.
Can I steal that? Do I have to send you a dollar every time I use it?
There is a royalty program set up.
So I got to ask, the name of your firm, Cracker Jack Marketing, is there a story behind that? Are you fond of Cracker Jacks? What's the deal?
I do love Cracker Jacks.
So do I. I like the little prize, don't you?
Oh, they've gotten so crappy now. It was something that just kind of came to me. And not the idea so much of the candy treat, but that a Cracker Jack is someone who's top-notch, top of their field, something like that. So it was just one of those things.
It's memorable, though. I mean, you remember it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nope. If people go, Cracker Jack, and you know, and they go, that's fun. And it really happened almost over a weekend, put the whole thing together.
Kind of like our company, right?
Exactly.
You have every now and then you get those flashes of genius. And that was, for me at least, that was one of them. And then I did the top kernel. Now,
what?
Yeah, I'm the top kernel.
You're the
that's
top
my title.
That's her title.
I'm in marketing.
I love it.
I'm in marketing. I can get away with doing stuff like that. Except for one of my medical clients that I won't say the name of, who says to me, don't tell them the name of your company and don't tell them your title. It's like, what? He goes, you're a medical writer. Tell them you're a medical writer. In truth, I do write, you know, white papers on things about, you know, cleanliness and that sort of thing. But, yeah, I'm a medical writer, but I'm the top colonel.
That's great.
Now, you mentioned Solo Health. Are there any other companies, innovative companies here in Georgia that you'd like to give a shout-out to?
There are so many cool stories and companies here. And it's really exciting to see some of the things that are coming out. And I know y'all have talked to a lot of them. It's what you're looking for here. And I love that you get to highlight these. CardioMEMS is a company that's gotten a lot of attention. They're on the front page of the Journal Constitution today.
Right.
AJC, in our little shorthand. And talking about their clinical trials. But what they have done is so, well, it's hard to come up with another word aside from innovative. And the things that they're doing, so they have an implantable device that they put into your heart. It just runs right, tiny, tiny, the size of a pencil lead. And it's put in through a catheter in your leg when they're doing cleaning things out. And it monitors someone that's been in the hospital, that's had an operation. It monitors your pressure and what the pressure is in there. It's a pressure monitor.
Right.
And it's based upon innovations that came out of Georgia Tech. Go Tech. They went through the ATDC program. And now they employ about 50 people here in town. And during their clinical there's some questions about their clinical trials with the FDA. And so they received a letter. It's written up in the paper. Oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? It's a really good program and what they do. So what you can do is you have this in your heart. You've put this
in. It just stays there?
It stays there.
Right.
Forever and ever. So, and you go back home again. Now, you don't want to have to go back to the hospital. There tends to be a decline. Every time you go back to hospital, yeah, you bounce
nothing
back.
Nothing good happens in the hospital. You want to get out of there as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. And people tend to decline as right. they keep doing that. Plus, now, the Medicare, Medicaid does not pay for you when you return to the hospital.
Oh, so they got to fix it in one shot, right?
Yep.
Or they get, you get the one hospital chance, gets dinged.
You get dinged.
Right.
They don't get paid. They have less money.
Right.
It's not good for any of them. This is not a good thing. So what the person can do is they lay down on a pad on their bed, and this pad activates this little sensor inside, and it sends information back to your doctor's office.
Wow.
That's so,
like space age.
That's like the Jetsons.
So, yeah, it transmits its back. Now, I may have missed some scientific things along the way. I'm not making any claims. Nothing the FDA needs to come down on. No. But it sends it back to the doctor's office. Well, the doctor's office can then monitor. So you think about being able to look at a whole line of data, and one thing pops out, right?
Right.
That's the person you need to contact and say, Mr. Smith, have you taken your blood pressure right. pill? Mr. Smith, you need to double check this. You know, we want to see you. But they can get that person back on track. Very right. often it's just a matter of drinking more water.
Really? So hydration is an important.
Hydration's huge that's, with a heart problem.
Really? See that?
Drink more water. You don't have to go to the
hospital.
That tip
right there is worth listening to the show today.
There Absolutely. You go. Should I come up? Is that it? That didn't work. So, and they've done a great job with this. There's some questions about their, the FDA is having some questions. This is what, so, and let's segue over here into, this is what makes marketing for medical devices and life sciences so interesting, challenging, opportunities, those nice happy words. You cannot say certain things.
Sure.
So I can tell you that I've got a bottle of water here. It's the best thing you'll ever drink. And it will cure any ills you may have. Now, as long as the FDA, you won't have to go through that. You know, those pills you hear about in the late night TV,
right.
those kinds of things. FDA has not approved those. But if I want to sell you a bottle of Lipitor or something, if I'm selling you this as a prescription, it's got to go through extensive testing, and it's got to go through approval of the Federal Drug Administration. And so FDA has to approve it.
Right, and this takes years, right? Like, this isn't that they don't knock that out in a weekend.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The trials, the clinical trials, you have to go through the research. And if you don't do that, then you're slammed because it could be very dangerous.
Right.
And we've seen drugs that have been recalled because it turned out over a period of time, they turned out not to be so good.
Right.
But you have to go through this FDA process, and then you have to be very careful. You have to be compliant with what the FDA said. So I can tell you that a bottle of water will cure your thirst, right? That's pretty straightforward.
Sounds so straightforward.
Well, now, I have to be careful because maybe your thirst is so great that that water will not cure it.
Every time.
I can't tell you that it's going to replace electrolytes in your body. So in being...
So from a marketing standpoint, it's very challenging. You're in a little box.
Sometimes you can't say something is safe and
right.
effective, you know, without having that page, you know.
A disclaimer.
Is that the stuff you hear after the commercial or as
right,
part of the
talk
commercial?
Really fast.
Like, the yeah. cure sounds like it's going to kill you.
Yeah, that stuff. And some of them you have to be pretty desperate. To go, yeah, I really do want to have all my hair fall out and to have.
But in most cases, if it's made it to market, isn't that like the unusual oddball case or not necessarily?
If you're desperate, certain things are worth it.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
Right. And so, but many times they're not big problems or it's incurring in a tiny little.
But you got to mention
but
every
gotta
little
say
thing,
it, though,
right?
You've got to say that. And people deserve to know.
Right.
And there's big questions about that. It's one of those things about, you know, you still want to be transparent. How transparent is that page of little bitty type?
Right.
You know, how dangerous is it really?
Right.
So you have to be very, and plus, you know, you didn't used to market drugs directly to consumers.
Right.
This is fairly new, which I think has helped to keep the television stations.
But it does
in
make your job incredibly challenging, and it makes engaging someone of your skill and expertise so critical.
Because it absolutely Stone. It's a very specialized field.
Seriously, it is a specialized
right,
field.
I wouldn't want to hire a marketing firm that's good at car advertising if I have a medical device. I mean, what? Then they're learning somebody on me.
Exactly.
I
mean,
you got to get a top colonel
right
on something.
You
need exactly. You do need a top. It helps, and there are other firms in town that do this. It helps tremendously.
Don't be modest.
Well, there are. They're just
yeah, but
not
have
good.
They been on Disruptive Business Radio?
I hope
probably
not.
Not.
I hope not. My secret advantage is
exactly.
Radio X. But you do have to know what you're doing
right.
with this, and you have to be careful. And you're reaching, you're not usually selling to the consumers. Those are the accounts that are up in New York going to the big agencies, you know, the ones that have the new madmen
right.
today. We're selling directly to doctors in many cases.
Right, because you're an expert in B2B.
B2B. And so right. we have to convince the doctors, because you want your doctor to actually look at the three different drugs or five different
right.
drugs and go, you know,
this is the one that I'm going to bet on.
This drug is advertised more, but you don't want that one. You
right.
want this one.
This is
one.
A better choice.
You know,
right.
Going back to Lipitor, or, you know, some of these, well, you don't really want to be on Lipitor. You need to be on Tricor, which is different for some reason. I think it's got three ingredients.
Well, if somebody wanted to learn more about your company, where do you have a website for Cracker Jack?
I do. Thank you for asking. It's crackerjack-marketing.com.
Now, you mentioned some other organizations that if you are in the health IT world, do you mind sharing those again?
Yeah. So we've got, like I mentioned, there's a clinical trials conference coming up, which is georgiaclinicaltrials.com. That's going to be next Friday. Terrific day. And if we have any doctors and other people listening, we'll have CME credits available.
Oh, wow. So that's
yeah.
worth it just for that.
Yeah. And that's being put on by a large group of people. Georgia Bio, the Metro Atlanta Chamber is the primary organizer behind it. We have ACTSI that involves Emory research groups as well as Morehouse School of Medicine. The university system is supporting us. And I know I'm forgetting one of them.
Well, if you
but
could.
But if you go to the website.
Right.
You'll see them.
And the chamber website has a lot of stuff on it, too,
Metro
right?
Atlanta Chamber, which is metroatlantachamber.com, mm-hmm. and which they just changed, and it's terrific looking now.
And there's a whole health IT section, right?
There's a lot of information on there about both biosciences. And one of the things that they've really tried to do is aggregate information so mm-hmm. you can get to virtually any place.
Can you get
there.
To the Women in Bio through that as well?
Women in Bio is a new group. There's a women, it's womeninbio.org to get to the national site. We have a LinkedIn group. And so if you go to LinkedIn and looked up
Women in Bio,
Women in Bio Atlanta,
find it.
You'll find us. Another thing is to go ahead and get signed up. We have the telehealth meeting next week. That's on the tagonline.org
right.
site. You can find information about that. And you can also find out information about the summit, the Health IT Summit there. Or you can go to Health IT Leadership Summit. I think it's .com and not .org. But either way, tag or through that. I suggest signing up early. $99 for a full day,
yeah.
including breakfast and lunch. And drinks
there you go.
At the end of the day. And so that's coming up in December. And then we've got CIMDA. And I haven't even gotten to talk to you about CIMDA, the Southeastern
Medical
Devices
Association. You'll have to come back, just do a whole CIMDA.
We can talk
episode.
CIMDA. Medical devices are cool.
I know.
Well, there was a lady from CIMDA at the Venture Atlanta 2012 thing that we had a very brief conversation with. So, yeah, we'd love
yeah,
maybe
a,
you should both come in and we'll have a conversation.
I'll tell you another thing. It's too bad that if you want to. It's too bad there's no TV cameras, but we have a terrific facility in Atlanta Court called the Global Center for Medical Innovation,
uh-huh.
which is over near Georgia Tech, where they are prototyping, doing medical prototypes. They can print a solid object.
The 3D printing?
The 3D
wow.
printing.
That's another
so cool.
thing that's blowing up everywhere.
Yeah, and so and they've got people in there now, and so it's a great spot regionally because, you know, Atlanta is not just the capital of Georgia.
It's
we're the capital of Southeast.
Southeast, that's right.
So, a lot of things going on.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Lynn, for being part of the show.
Thanks.
Thank you, Stone, for being part of the show. Nice of you to make it this week.
You're more than welcome, sir.
And thanks again to our sponsor, Minerva Planning Group, the good folks who provide their clients with financial peace of mind. Check them out online at MinervaPlanningGroup.com. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next week on Disruptive Business.